We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fordway, Merlone, and Fourier's broadcast from the Ford Clubhouse Studio at Fenway Park is brought to you by Fraser Engineering. Great people doing great work. And Window World of Boston.
Right now, Logan Couture, I would say, and Tuukka Rask for the Conn Smythe. Those you pick those two guys?
I don't know. I don't. In the playoffs. I want to talk about
Rask.
What? What?
You were going to show Rask?
Yeah, right now. But watch this here. Here he goes again. I never do this. Watch the second guy coming in. Never do this, kid. It's covered up. And Rask right now is keeping them in the game. I don't think he'll keep him in the rest of this game because they're not winning this game. Bruins aren't winning this game. There's no way they win this game because they are pumped. And all right, go ahead.
I swear to God,
he's 85.
Okay, 85. More reason to push him to the side. And
best
say,
dressed 85-year-old man ever, by the way.
Or worst dressed? How about that? Let's go worst.
We talking
dressed.
About?
All right, Kari, go ahead.
Is he colorblind? Does he know
maybe.
What?
He
does,
might be.
Does he know what he looks like?
He might be.
Somebody
no
told
idea.
Him
all right, let's go.
Kids are into this. The kids like the crazy color. Somebody had a stroke every time they watch him on TV.
Well, matching suit. Shirt and tie. He does that an awful lot.
You were going to show Rask.
I got to tell you, I had just the opposite reaction after the first period last night. And you remember, I picked the Hurricanes yesterday.
You did.
I was totally wrong. I picked the Hurricanes. After that first period, he made 20 saves. There were five or six that were absolutely spectacular.
He made four in a row.
Unbelievable.
On that power play in the first couple of minutes of that game.
Five on three, five on three. He had four on four, so you had plenty of space. It didn't make a difference. He's seeing the puck like the puck is the size of a beach ball right now. He makes 20 saves. They should have been down 4-0 at the end of one. At the end of one, I said to my son, there is no way the Bruins are losing this game tonight. Because this guy right now is playing out of his mind.
So you said that has nothing to do. You think Carolina is good. You think they're a good team.
I don't think they're as bad. I think most people look at it and say they suck. The reason that, and Justin Williams getting frustrated last night, something he doesn't normally do. You know why? Because they can't get the puck past Tuukka Rask.
Well, if you remember, Williams was the one that shot that puck that Tuukka didn't even see.
Correct.
And it just went in his glove.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he just didn't see.
He
just,
another one off the off well, his no, shoulder.
But that one there, he's just in position. This is where he keeps his glove. And Williams shot it, and it went right into his glove. So there's frustration. I thought it was really nice for the Bruins to kind of let Carolina play with them a little bit. Because I think that's kind of how I look at it. Carolina's done. I mean, they suck.
Oh, no.
I mean, I thought it was going to be 7-2 last night. Sorry. You know, but I didn't realize the Bruins were going to let up a little bit and just let him play a little. I think the Bees just wanted to get Tuukka some work. Really, I think they did. I think they wanted to practice their 5-on-3. They want to just kind of work on some things. That's all this is. It's a glorified scrimmage. It's a nice little breather to get the boys some sweat before the Stanley Cup.
I think you're crazy. I think he was so good in that first period that the Bruins finally got to the dressing room, and Cassidy probably said, you guys going to play tonight? You're going to show up tonight? How about we do something? How about we put some pressure on the guy at the end?
Obviously,
and then they
yes.
came out and they took the 2-0 lead. But here's the other one. The first line? Going into the postseason, what did we say? The first line's going to have to be great. First line has not been great in most of these series. Pastrnak is still out to lunch. The first line wasn't great last night. You're getting help from the third and the fourth line right now. And you know why you're getting that? Because that guy is so freaking good right now. He is stopping everything in sight. He's giving you such a huge margin for error.
Okay, well, hold on. Just to go back to that, because, yeah, he's playing great. But if I'm going to, you know, sum this up for Carolina, it wasted opportunities. They've had at least five times in that game last night where Rask was out of position and Carolina just flat out missed the net.
Couple
just
of them.
Whiffed. Or they just hit it right at him.
It was
actually so
terrifying.
You give him credit for standing on his head. But if you're Carolina, now you know why Justin Williams is like going nuts. Because even when they have an opportunity, they can't deliver. They can't finish it. So, yeah, okay, Because I'd say just the opposite. Carolina, with all those opportunities, a good team would be able to finish. A good team that got through to this point would be able to finish those rushes, but they can't do it.
Well, yeah, but so part of that, too,
is that Tuca standing on his head?
Yes,
just
it is.
Crapping
yes,
down their
it
leg?
Is. Because I would tell you that either one of these teams they're about to face in the next round, whether it be San Jose or St. Louis, are better teams, okay? San Jose can do a lot. They're bigger.
They will miss those quick shots.
Okay, I guess they will. If he continues to play like this, all he has to do is win five more games if he continues to stay in this. So let me tell you what my biggest fear is right now. This is my biggest fear going forward.
Charlie Wagner?
No, Charlie Wagner is not my biggest fear.
Charlie Coyle?
My biggest fear right now is that Tuca can't continue to do this. The
so
one thing
scary
we've said about Tuca over the years, we've never said that he sucks. We've said that at times he is brilliant, and other times he totally loses it, right? There's a possibility these guys, and Dale was talking about this earlier, and it's a great point. They might get 12 days off. If you're a Tuca Rask, do you want 12 days off right now?
No, I figure that's the next step, too. The Bruins don't want too big of a layoff before the Cup, so maybe they let them win game four. Just to try to extend it a little bit. So I think it's all playing nice with Carolina. Tuca right now is locked in. They are broken. And the reason why I think they miss some opportunities is because they're stressed. And because they know they have to be perfect.
Carolina.
So that's what I'm saying.
But that's all back to
Tuca. But that leads to, I don't know how to beat this guy. You know what I mean? You're gripping it a little bit tighter. There's a lot of shots right in the middle of the chest as well a couple of times. And the third and fourth line, that's not because of Tuca. That's because the third and fourth line are taking advantage of a horrible third pairing for these guys in Carolina.
Yeah, maybe.
You're right. The first line, this, you get to the Cup, they're going to have to show up. I feel like they show up every three games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's the third and fourth line, really, that's getting it done. And, I mean, DeBrusk, Krejci, they're checking in. I get it. And Backes is doing his thing. But right now, everything is so locked in with them to the point where you might lose Charlie Wagner, which is just fine.
Right.
Because the Friar or Chari is just sitting there waiting to come back in anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah, see.
You would have been not even, you know.
It was a healthy scratch last night. It probably pissed you off, didn't
it? Well, no, I understand it. You're rolling. Everything is going so well. You're not going to make any kind of lineup changes. But you do lose a guy who sacrifices his body and takes one off the wrist. And who knows what's going to happen with him. I think they said it doesn't look good. But you just have another guy to slide right in who's had that job all year long and done it effectively.
Yeah, Chara was really good last night, contrary to what Wiggy said. I'd like to find out what channel Wiggy watches these games on.
He watched it at some hockey rink.
I'm riding this train until the whales fall off.
I have no idea what channel he was watching, because some of the things that he criticized Chara in the past are valid. He's 42 years old. He doesn't have the quickness, the speed. He doesn't have any of that left. But still, the poke checking and the 5-on-3 last night. I mean, stuff he does is still very, very good.
Yeah, and I actually heard that, and I actually went back and looked at it because, all right,
that when you analyze.
I did.
Stuff.
I usually don't do this, but I feel like I kind of had to.
Wiggy's my hockey guy.
He's always been slow. What has he been fast?
No, he's never been really quick.
So, I mean,
but
he's effective.
He's a lot slower than he has.
I know, but okay, but it's like, okay, so what is the difference between this year and last year? I think it's this huge discrepancy in speed. The fact is that he's effective and he gets the job done. And if you're just focused on his speed, then you're looking at the wrong thing.
Because
he's never had it in the first place.
All right, so does this not remind you a little bit the way Tuca's playing right now? Because it is consistent every single game. Matter of fact, the worst goal he gave up was that one goal he gave up.
The easiest
night.
One.
That was the easiest one.
It's Tim Thomas.
It's Tim Thomas from 2011.
It is.
It's exactly what it is. So,
nemesis, what he's always been compared to.
But here's the question.
That's what he needs to get off.
So here's
back,
the question.
Huh?
So all the Tuca critics have shut up. You know, the Joe Hags and others have stepped back a little bit, and they should. This guy has been brilliant. But do you not, in the back of your mind, still look at this thing and say he needs five more? Do we still trust him?
When he wins this series, and he will, whether it's four or five, whatever it is, what he's bought himself is another opportunity to be criticized.
Correct.
Because if he goes into the Cup, you know, and a couple goals like DeHaan's goal, you know, gets underneath him and they drop a series, then it'll say, yeah, he was great up to that point. But like I've always said.
Yeah. Here it is. Wait for it.
Yeah, that's it.
Excuse me. You can't win a Cup with him, right? So
worked a lot of hours yesterday, so he's kind of
worried. Yeah, I know. Poor Lou.
It was fading.
Poor Lou. Coughing. Three hours and 45 minutes, how long that game was last night?
It was good until they went to extras. Let me give you a tweet that I got.
Oh, good.
Our Boston Sports Info. We tweeted out.
We love our Boston Sports Info guy.
So this is Tuca in the first period of the postseason so far, all the playoff games. 320 minutes. He's got his goals against his 0.94.
Is that good?
And a 968 save percentage. Now, at home, 180 minutes, 0.33 goals against, and a 986 save percentage. This is the first period. So you talk about whether you're on the road in Carolina, you're facing 20 shots. You know, and a lot of it is on the road, but of course at home he's outstanding as well. Give me a chance, you know. Give me a chance in the first period, you know, to sustain like a 20 shot just onslaught, right, by Carolina, and he does that. And it breaks their back. And all of a sudden the Bruins wake up in the second period. The dude has been money in the first period coming out of the gate where a team's trying to set the tone to beat the Bruins. It's not happening. He is so locked in.
So they come out in the first period, and they just say, you know, we're just going to go completely bananas. And Justin Williams, who actually looked like he just crushed up a bunch of Adderall and started just going completely freaking bonkers, decided, like, he's going to be the guy.
Every penalty he took was stupid.
It was like he was trying to get kicked out of the game.
But like he tried.
I feel like it's one of those situations where the coach says, "Listen, we need a spark. Go start a fight with somebody."
Well, the first one with Krug, I think he punched him in the face, and Krug punched him back.
Right.
And they called a penalty, and he looked at him like, "Yeah, you're going to get him for retaliating, right?" Because nobody ever sees the first punch.
Go around punching guys in the face.
Both you guys are gone. The second one, he just grabs Krug's stick out of his hand and just throws it down, like there was no need for it. And the third one, I forget what it was. The elbow.
Oh, he could have had two
the
more.
Elbow on Krug again. Just finished the check, and they're talking about his stick comes up, the elbow comes high. He could have accomplished all those things, but just, you know, it was just the stupidest thing. And it felt like as much momentum as Carolina had, like his penalties, they're stopping that momentum. Now you're sitting there on penalty kills. And you're like, Jesus, how many shots could they have had? You know, if this guy wasn't taking stupid,
well,
careless
it's funny
penalties.
Because it, what was it? Marchand got him game two, got inside his head. Krug the other night. I want to say Chara was the first game. I mean, everybody's getting a turn on this guy, and this is your captain. This is your guy that's supposed to, I guess, set an example. And he's completely getting worked.
This can't be right. I just saw that Kevin Paul DuPont tweeted out odds on a bet online, the Conn Smythe winner, the odds, the favorite. Who would, in your mind, who would the favorite to be right now?
Tuukka Rask. Even money.
It's Brad Marchand.
No.
At 2-1.
It's wrong.
Now, Tuukka Rask is second at 3-1. Logan Couture is 5-1. Yep. Bennington, the young goalie, and he's been outstanding. And Schwartz from St. Louis is 6-1, then 10-1. But
oh, we should have bet on this.
Brad Marchand is the favorite at 2-1.
No.
Now, I suppose if you get to the cup, and Marchand, you know, puts, you know, has a hat trick, and I don't know, in 6-7 games, pots up 15 points, it goes absolutely berserk. Maybe it's the last thing you remember. But up to this point, where's Brad Marchand been as far as one of your better players?
He's not been. As I said, we were talking about
that
first line. No. Matter of fact, Heinen, Coyle, we can take other players that I think have played better and you expect more from Marchand. If we're looking at the success pie, you know, the opposite of the blame pie, the success pie.
I didn't know there was one of those.
The success pie. I would guess right now Tuukka Rask would be 80%.
I was going to say 75.
80%.
Yeah, I'd say third line.
Right now, you can look at the Bruins, and that's probably one thing that that Don Cherry was looking at last night and sitting there and saying that, you know, they can't continue to do this because the Bruins aren't playing that well. You know, eventually it's got to catch up to them. Nope, it'll catch up to them the night that Tuukka Rask loses it.
Yeah.
And we got five games.
And then they'll score
get
six goals.
Five
they'll,
games.
They'll score six right. goals in that game that it catches up to him.
And the one thing I would caution everybody, because I love the way he's playing, but think of the criticism we've had of Tuukka Rask over the years. He will be brilliant for a while, and then suddenly, poof, the genie just disappears, right? It just suddenly goes.
You know, the cup is the Tuukka, what just the playoffs, game one of a division series is for Price.
Yeah.
Because it's like he can't do it in the postseason, period. For Tuukka, he can't do it to win the cup.
Right. Can't do it consistently.
Like, you know, it's not like Price can go out there and win a couple games in that first or second round and say, see, I told you so. For this guy, as dominant as he has been, there will still be people critical of him. No, cool. But even they would have to admit, I would hope, that they wouldn't even be here in the Stanley Cup if it wasn't for this guy.
So what makes me nervous is you have the possibility of 12 days off between series for the goaltender. Now, it might help a few guys.
All right, well, whoever wins game three in the West, then hopefully they win it in five.
Yeah, that's what you need right now. You want that thing to be over quickly in the West. You do not want to have
I got
to
look, but I think
12 days?
Yeah. I think every team that has swept has lost the next round. I got to look that up. I'll look that up.
Okay, good, good. Columbus, he didn't have to tell you that. You've been conditioned Carolina to do it on your own.
Mon, yeah, see if you can find
two of them against the Bruins, right?
Yeah, I got to look that up. Yeah.
Yeah, two of them against the Bruins. See, that's the thing that I would fear the most, is that the one criticism we have of Tuukka is not that he sucks. Tuukka's the terrific goaltender. The problem is he goes into runs, he's phenomenal, even during the regular season. Then he goes into other runs where he really struggles.
Not this time, Big O.
Right? Tuukka Rask is the easiest guy to throw under the bus.
It's the only thing I worry about. And I'm giving him all the praise in the world, all the credit, because to this point, screw the online betting in Vegas. He is your odds-on favorite to win the Conn Smythe right now. He's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, we get to your phone calls. We'll open them up talking about the Bruins, and we'll get into the Celtics. How is it that some people think the Celtics had a bad night with the draft lottery? Where are they? What are they smoking? 617-779-7937. Radio Run OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Williams continued to for a little bit.
He got it together eventually, though.
Yeah.
That was like he had six coffees too many before the game started. He was wired, and he was trying to make a difference, but at the same time, he needed to be reeled in by his head coach on that. Brendan Moore did a good job of getting him under control.
And after his third penalty, it's weird to say he had three minors in that first period, but he did calm down. He was around the net a few opportunities. He had a couple chances to score. He settled in, but for Carolina, this is demoralizing for me as well.
Right.
You played as well as you can. You got nothing to show for it.
They're done.
Nothing to show for it. And every time they do have something to try to show for, they whiff. Like every opportunity, every easy opportunity they whiff on, especially last night.
Of course, the other thing too is that he that little scrum where Backus crashed the net, and there was debate where the puck was, everything, yada yada. You see Williams punch him in the back of the head while he was down?
Yes.
Yeah. Difference is, of course, Williams stayed there and said, "Yeah, I did it." Didn't run away like a little child.
What are you talking about, Lewis? What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I don't even know who you're talking about.
So he's talking about
the guy you're talking about doesn't exist anymore.
That's what he's talking about.
Oh, that guy. That guy doesn't exist anymore. This is playoffs. This is serious playoff Marchand.
The odds-on favorite right now to win the Conn Smythe. I don't think there's anybody close.
That's just Vegas.
I don't think there's anybody close. I mean, guys have had games where they've been pretty good. Right? And even some of the guys in the third and fourth line have been pretty good. Coyle has played great, considering what your expectation was.
Troy Coyle?
Troy Coyle. But
how about Troy Wagon?
He's played well. But there's nobody that comes close to what Tuukka Rask has contributed.
It's not even close.
And that's why, to me, this is keeping it all together. And that's why I'm wondering if anybody's not a little bit fearful, and I'm not saying that he can't continue to do this, because he has to right now. If he's going to shed that reputation, he's got to do it for at least five more games. He's got to do it, because if they lose in the Stanley Cup, the expectations are all different. They lose, and Tuukka Rask does not play at this unheard-of level that he's playing at right now, then what are people going to be talking about?
No, it's
going to
be they'll pick somebody else. I tell you what, if you think about it, David Price,
exercise the demons.
Exercise the demons, right? I would say Al Horford, in a way, proved himself. Okay, proved for the most part, he proved himself.
Al Horford says, thank you.
Kyrie Irving, it's to be determined. And Tuukka Rask has been the other guy. People look at Tuukka Rask the same way they look at a Tom Brady, a Kyrie Irving, or a David Price, the same type of expectations. If you suck, it's your fault. If you have a bad game, a good game, and everybody else around you sucks, you're going to get blamed. So even if everybody else around him has a crappy game and he has a great game, he's still going
to
be blamed.
Here's the difference. Price only had to do it for a few games, and there were other guys that came in between his start.
Yeah, but the narrative is still the same. There's still this spotlight on you. Listen,
I agree.
We want to accept you, but we can't. Because you have to do this. And even if you play great and you've earned your money, you're really not going to earn our respect until you reach this pinnacle.
I agree. Except that he has to play at an unheard-of level every single night. I don't think the Bruins are playing well enough for him. Certainly they are in this series against this team.
Yeah, because this team's a whatever.
Right. But does anybody believe that he's going to be – he can be okay in a series against San Jose and they win the cup? He's got to continue doing what he's doing.
Well, that's why you win the Stanley Cup.
But unlike Price, he has to go out there every single day and do it for his team.
Well, I mean, obviously, that you have more opportunities to fail.
Yes.
So, I mean, that obviously makes it harder. I think what he does is a lot harder than what David Price does. Right. I mean, it's not even close in my book, but the stigma is still the same.
And he's been a lot more successful at it than Price.
Yes!
Because if you lose an Eastern Conference Finals in his career, it's like, okay, how'd you get there? Pretty sure he won some games to get there, correct? But it's all about what have you done for me lately. So, again, they'll finish off Carolina, and they'll buy himself another opportunity to be criticized in the Stanley Cup. But that's just the way – that's the nature of the beast. Your goalie has to be good. It has to be great to win a Stanley Cup. It's known.
And they're a strange breed. You were talking about it before the break, Lou, about all of these teams that had swept another team and then get beaten the next round.
This will be the third one.
So what usually happens? The goaltender – is unbelievable in the sweep, and then the next series something happens. Yeah. He's not so good.
There's a correction there.
I still think this is a little bit different. This is sort of like you sweep somebody in the first round. So it was Columbus swept in the first round. The Islanders swept, and they both lost, and then Carolina just swept. But this is almost like bye week 10, not bye week 4. Early in the postseason, you sweep a team. Now going into the Stanley Cup, I think there's some guys that maybe, when the season's over, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be surgeries. There's going to be this guy's dealing with a pulled this and a pulled that. So, now it depends on how long the other series goes. Hopefully that goes five, because I don't see this thing going more than five.
I'm not sure that's going to go five. Do you think?
You think Chara needs a break? It could use one?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
I mean, last night, I was looking at Fluto's thing, and I don't know. Wiggy probably didn't see this part of the game, apparently. But he played a game-high 5 minutes and 26 seconds on the penalty kill.
Right.
And if you include the end of the game, he was on the ice for 7 minutes and 12 seconds.
He was good last night.
On the penalty kill. Now, I know Tuukka was the best penalty kill you could have. But as Fluto says, they can't find an answer to his stick, strength, or positioning to score goals they require.
But let me ask you this, because they killed off a couple penalties. But they weren't real good in the first period. Matter of fact, they were pretty bad. He did all of the work.
Everything.
And so we look at it and say, you can sit here and you can rank on the Hurricanes and you can say they suck or whatever. But if Tuukka doesn't, here we go, the hockey term, stand on his head last night in the first period with 20 saves, you lose that game last night. And so now suddenly maybe you're in a more interesting series.
I would say that Carolina have not helped themselves
because
they're in the box and all the penalty shots they give up, the shots that they miss. I would just say just go back and look at the shots and the opportunities that they missed out on.
No, that's a big
to me,
part.
That's just they're not helping themselves in any capacity.
No, that's a big part of it. You want to play 5-on-5 against the Bruins. You don't want to constantly give them that power play.
So it's almost like their philosophy is completely ass backwards. The Boston Bruins are more talented than you. They're a better team than you. So obviously you got to be perfect. Yet they're taking all these chances, and then those chances don't work, and then they get careless, and they get frustrated, and then when they do have a legitimate opportunity, it's like it's not even a grade A shot. It's like you're making it easy. I'm not saying that Tuca's not playing great. He is. But in those times when they do have an opportunity, it's like that's your best shot. Well, you're shooting it right at his chest.
But it was 20 shots in the first period. You're on the road. You usually talk about the first 10 minutes. Can you weather the storm? Well, this was 20. You know, and they had to weather the storm for 20 minutes because in the second period, if it got flipped, Bruins put up a couple goals, 18-6 shots in the second period. So. What he's been able to do in the first period, some of those numbers that I told you before, 986, 967 overall, 986 at home, off the charts.
And they get leads in all these games.
Well, they were able to be nothing after one, and then they took over the second. Again, 18-6 in shots in the second period.
And it was 2-0 very quickly by the time you get into that second period, all because of the work he did. I think this is 80% of his work. I don't think you can look. I don't even think Brady. You can look at Brady and say, in any of those Super Bowl games or any of those big playoff games, he was 80% of the success pie. This is
because he's not playing defense.
Exactly. This is off the charts what this guy is doing. But unfortunately, for them to reach this goal and win the whole thing, and they've got to win the whole thing now, if it's all on him.
Well, I mean, really, if you want to
talk about pressure on one athlete, it'll
probably start to turn that first line as well, and maybe even that second line. You know, because this is they have the recipe of when the Bruins won a cup back in 2011, it was you were getting that third line scoring. You know, and these guys are getting third and fourth line scoring. I mean, they're just getting scoring from all over the place. Now, eventually, you know, that top line, you know, you go and do your thing. The other teams will defend it, whether it's the forwards like Toronto did with Tavares and Marner. So they might be able to shut them down, but eventually they're going to have to check in. You know, and I just think the reason why you're seeing this team so solid and balanced is because what you get on a third and fourth line, and that's the recipe to win. So, yeah, it's still going to be on Tuca, but eventually we're going to start talking about that first line and that second line.
You better. Because if you don't, it's going to be all on this guy. And I know people have been very, very critical of this guy, but he's been everything. He's been everything. As dominant as you're going to find in any playoff series for any team, for any sport. All right, we get to your phone calls. You still feel confident that Tuca can do it for another five games. 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. Plus, where are all those people now that are out there that think the Celtics had themselves a bad night? Boy, I thought it was pretty enjoyable last night. What are we talking about? We'll get to that as well right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Damn! Damn it! Damn it!
I know the Knicks had everybody believing that if they got the number one overall pick, they were going to hold on to Zion. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what they tell anybody, they were thinking about moving that pick for Anthony Davis. They were at least thinking about it. Now New Orleans gets the first damn pick, and now they got both guys. What do the Knicks have? What do the Knicks have?
There you go. That's objective journalist Stephen A. Smith from ESPN. Fake. Soon to get $10 million.
No, I feel
year.
It's real.
$10 million.
He's a huge Knicks guy. Him and Spike Lee.
I'll give him this.
Spike Lee. They're both in and out of it. You just can't find Spike Lee's anymore.
He's a poor actor. He really is.
Why in the dark? This guy's been in TV for a long period of time. Does he not have one of those phone lights where is it we can at least see him a little bit? Just a little bit.
They were at least thinking about it.
Oh, come on. Please. I mean, these Knicks.
The next time you get really mad, and I don't know when that would ever be, but next time you get mad, could you send out a video like this?
And damn!
It doesn't have to be sports related.
In the closet?
Just be life related.
Yeah.
No, wherever. Oh, just send out a really, I want to see how fake mad you can get.
I'll tell you what. was laughing my ass off at all of this last night. And I can only imagine what it was like, because the people in the room that saw all of this, and apparently there were 15 journalists in the room as well who are watching all of this, were laughing their ass off because they knew the outcome, right? They knew what happened. And now they're watching the broadcast go on 45 minutes later, in which the Knicks, they go to the Knicks fans. Yeah,
and they know it's going to happen.
They know.
That's, that's actually kind of funny.
So to me, it was even better last night in that the Knicks got set up. It wasn't like the Knicks saw their hopes dashed right out of the gate. Nope. They set them up like a mother, and then they just pulled it away from them. That,
and
to me, was awesome.
For the record, the Knicks were not the only – it's like everyone thought that the Knicks were the only team. Like, they had a 25% chance, and forget about the Suns, or forget about Cleveland, or any other.
They had a 14%.
No, I know. That's my point. But last year was a 25% chance if you were the worst team. This year, the worst three teams get an equal percentage. Okay, so, but
and
no,
look, and look
still
at what happened. It went topsy-turvy.
The problem is that, like, you know, Phoenix wasn't sitting there saying, if we have Zion, you know, they don't have this grand plan, right? I mean, you know, Durant's not going to Phoenix. Kyrie's not thinking of Phoenix. They're not thinking of Atlanta or Memphis or whatever. There's a chance that the Knicks could get Durant and Kyrie and trade for Anthony Davis if they got Zion. Yeah. So that's why they are easily the biggest loser in all of this last night.
What exactly is it that you did sacrifice?
You know what I mean? Because the other teams are like, oh, we lost on Zion, and he could be a great player. The Knicks were thinking of flipping him or keeping him with Kyrie and whatever. Their fan base and their organization felt like next year they could turn the whole thing around if we can just get that number one.
And did you see Zion's face when he realized that
yes.
New Orleans got the number one? He was not excited about it
at
all.
They interviewed him after. He's never been to New Orleans, and he didn't sound like he was interested.
AAU tournaments, of all the travel, the schedule that you had, you've never been to New Orleans.
He said he's never been there. It didn't sound like he was looking to make a trip.
And what did he know? This is the other thing. Eli Manning and John Elway were the two quarterbacks, elite players that I can remember, that actually said, you know what, screw it. I don't care where you're drafting. I'm not playing for your city. Why can't he do that?
He can.
Why can't he just say, you know, just be a jerk and say, I don't care. If you draft me, I'm telling you, I'm not playing.
He could.
Send me to another city. I mean, I don't know what kind of jerk he is. I don't know who his agent is.
I don't care.
I mean, if I'm him, if I'm realizing I'm going to be stuck in New Orleans, and I get they have good food. I get that it's like a lot of people, you know, Mardi Gras is a lot of fun for like a day, and you want to just cut your arm off and get the hell out of there. But I would not be excited about playing there in the Smoothie King Arena.
He could do that and see how it all works out. Terry Rozier did a similar thing yesterday, basically said
that's what he should do.
If they're all back here next year, even though he's a restricted free agent and therefore he is Boston Celtics property, he said he's not coming back. I don't know. What's he going
to
retire?
I'm going to have to go.
What's he going
to
do?
He may have to.
Zion?
Terry Rozier.
Yeah. What about Zion going back to Duke? You starting to see these articles? It's coming out of the New York Post, of course.
Does he have an agent?
No.
Yet? Oh, that's interesting.
He never hired an agent.
Oh, that's good.
What if he sits there and says, I don't want to go to New Orleans?
Yeah, he could do that.
Well, they could still draft him, right?
Who could?
No, he doesn't enter the draft. He'll go back to college.
Now,
if he goes back to college, then he might find a situation to where he could enroll back in college and not play.
I was going to say, let me just say that he's not eligible, based on the fact that how far they went in the tournament, the fact that he knew he was coming. Do you think that guy ever went to class? Do you think he could get back into Duke and play one more year? No. Okay, there's suspensions around. The guy never went to school.
It's slim. It won't happen because you're going to be the first pick overall. Right? And, I mean, you can look at it and say, okay, look what Anthony Davis or other guys have done. They've gone somewhere. And, you know, your career isn't going to be from the age of 20 to 24, 25. Your career is that next team. And just like everybody else, you'll be able to pick where you want if you're that good of a player.
He's probably violated NCAA rules, too. You think he's picked up a few bucks on the side?
Point in time? Yeah. I know.
So you tell me if he goes back to Duke and they declare him ineligible, that's going to affect it?
Yeah.
Play overseas.
No, play overseas.
You don't think they'd want him overseas?
But
great draw. He could go to the same place where Lonzo Ball and his family went.
So I'm a little disturbed by this. I don't understand why people here in Boston aren't ecstatic, because I thought what happened for Boston last night was pretty much close to perfect. Now, the only thing that didn't happen for them is they didn't get the Sacramento pick, right, up high. They got it at 14. But didn't most people expect, of all of the things, didn't you expect that was the one thing that probably was not going to happen. Based well, listen, on the percentages.
When it's all said and done, I know everybody's all excited about the draft and, you know, excited about the lottery and how all the teams moving up and some teams getting screwed. But when you think about specifically of the Celtics, I mean, they're not in a worse position. They're not necessarily a better position. They're right where they were beforehand. The Knicks aren't in any better position than they are. And if you want to say, and if you think that the Lakers are their biggest competition as far as landing Anthony Davis, I don't think they're in any more better position than you are. I mean, to me, it's just going to be, you know, who can finagle the best deal and work Griffin the best.
There's no way. There's no way that the Knicks could use the number three pick and even throw a Knox and Smith in that deal and end up getting Anthony Davis. There's no way that Griffin's going
to do it. Who's got more to offer?
By the way, they have no other draft picks. Are you going to give up? So are you going to take New York's number one draft pick? If New York is trying to put together three major players, what's that draft pick going to be next year? 24?
Well, yeah.
Do that?
I'm with you. But like, again, we're talking about Chris Gasper, who tweeted out, what a disaster that draft lottery was.
I have no idea what he's
for
talking
the
about.
Celtics. Now, here's his reason.
Why? Because everything didn't go perfect?
He says it would have been great if the Grizz could have stayed at 8 in a weak draft. Now they get a difference maker, Morant or Barrett, at 2. So the odds of that unprotected pick went down. So he thinks because they get, say, Ja Morant, that there's a chance that they won't bottom out and be a top six pick next year. You know, so, and then he says the Pelicans have more compelling case for AD to give them one more year. Number one, we'll start with AD. Okay, as we mentioned before, he is not staying because they got Zion Williamson.
No freaking way.
And if you're New Orleans, you just pleased your fan base because when AD leaves and we're going to trade him, we don't have to trade for Zion. We already got him. We're going to get more pieces for Anthony Davis. He doesn't want to stay with a rookie. The other one is, I don't know if Chris thinks that Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, if they are great players, I'm just looking at last year's draft. Who was the best rookie you think last year? You say Luka?
Yes, I would say yes.
Okay.
Doncic. Yes.
How's Dallas? They're a good team?
No, you don't win with
the
young kids.
How about DeAndre Ayton out in Phoenix?
Yes, good player.
Team?
No.
Colin Sexton.
And by the way, they
Cleveland.
Have other players. No.
So, I mean, Memphis, I don't care who they get, they're going to move Conley, and they're not going to be good.
No, they. How many games they won? They won, how many games they won this past year?
Denver?
Memphis. 33, oh, something like that?
But they're not going to be good.
No, just the opposite. See, I think he's got it wrong. I think it's just the opposite. I think Morant could be a terrific player. But there's a big difference of playing at Murray State and playing in the NBA, okay? And 33 wins, right? So if they have to, if they blow it up, and my guess is that's what they're going to do right now, they're going to blow the whole thing up, right? And Conley will be gone, and they'll get his money off the books because he's a max contract guy. At one time, was the highest paid guy in the league. Once you do that, you're going to go through a transition of a couple years till Morant can get up to NBA level where he can play at a high level in the NBA. For the next 2 years, Memphis is going to suck. He's wrong. He's got that totally wrong.
Well, the other thing, so do you think that you've seen the end of tanking for teams based on how all these other teams tried to basically just, you know, put themselves in a perfect position? Do you think you've seen the end of that?
No.
Do you think teams will now say, oh, okay, well, we remember what happened last year. It's not like it was, like, you know, 2 years ago when we had a 25% chance of being the worst.
No, because
now
I'll tell
it's
you,
too risky.
It's not because it's still you still have a better chance. So if you have a team that you think, you know, you've got a star player who's, and this is where you tank, you got a star player that's nursing an injury, right? I mean, that's what you do, and you just don't play the kid. You know, so whether LeBron at the end of the year, whatever. So you just don't play him. So if you sit and say, we're on pace to win about 36 games if I play this guy, 38 games if I don't, 28. So, you know, our odds are now 14% as opposed to 4.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, if, I don't think it's not, changed anything.
No, it doesn't change anything. Like, if we're not what we feel like as, you know, if we're a playoff team, we're a playoff team. Hey, let's get the revenue, let's get some playoff games and see what we can do. But if we are what we think is a 9, 10, 11, 8 in that range, we're still better off trying to be 4. Or 3. We got better odds.
Yeah, see, I think the NBA, they lucked out that the first time they changed the rules, instead of one team having the greatest chance to win it, there's three teams with an equal opportunity to get that number one spot. And I think they got lucky this time. So I know you may bring this up later, but this whole talk that the NFL should adopt this rule. The NFL should, first of all, the NFL doesn't have a tanking problem. They don't have teams that are outwardly, you know, just screwing up on purpose. I don't think it's possible.
Oh, the Jets aren't doing that right now?
Well, now it's weird though. The Jets are doing it after the draft.
But here's why I'm surprised. Here's why I'm surprised the NFL doesn't do it, right? Because right now, you know, before the draft, it just gives you another must-watch thing.
I agree.
And the league loves it.
So the NFL needs, but the NFL's already at that. You saw what happened in Nashville. Sure, but no, but a million people.
That's for the draft. Well. Can you imagine what it would be like if we're trying to figure out if you get the number one pick or not, like a month before the draft? Like, look what the NBA last night, the lottery. Like, people are all over it, right? There's so many cities that have a chance to get that number one pick. And even if you are in the NFL, if I don't know how they would do it. If you don't make the playoffs, you're in it. So you could have 20. How many teams? 20?
Yeah, 20. You'd have 20 teams in it because 12 teams make the playoffs.
You're the 20th so you have 20 teams buying. You got a 1% chance of making it. So guess what? You're all watching.
Yeah.
Everybody watches the NFL, and anyways,
it's another money grab.
Something the XFL would adopt. This is something like that.
No, but they don't XFL, need it. No, but the XFL, nobody cares.
They don't. Here's the thing: they don't need it.
Well, wait a minute.
They don't, if you want to throw a wrinkle in there, fine. I guess wouldn't. It wouldn't kill them. I don't. I mean, I don't even know if you'd have any.
It would help. Doesn't matter if they don't need it.
Here's the thing: they don't need the help.
But Christian, they didn't need to spread it out to 3 days and put the draft at night. But they're doing this stuff to get huge television audience. Lou is correct. If you put up a draft lottery a month before and you have 20 teams engaged,
put it this way:
you'll be talking about it at the end
of
the
season. How about this one?
Teams jockeying
2 years from now, Trevor Lawrence comes out.
Yep.
Maybe next year, Tua. I don't know. Cool. But the kid, Trevor Lawrence, out of Clemson.
Guy.
Okay?
Clemson quarterback, yeah.
2 years from now, and you got a lottery. You have the sixth worst record in the NFL. You got a shot. You're telling me the ratings wouldn't be through the roof for about 15, 20, every city?
I will say this, though. It would add another element, obviously, okay?
Sick.
But with the increase of gambling and the NFL's partnership with these casinos,
gamble on the draft
I would
lottery.
See them. Yeah, then I guess I could see. I actually think it's silly. I think they're kind of trying too hard. The whole lottery thing, it's like you're the worst team to get the first pick. Okay, because the NFL, nobody's tanking. So they're not trying to restrict guys from playing crappy. They just have usually the team with the worst quarterback is usually the worst team.
Well, wait a minute. Teams are tanking. They're just not tanking to get the worst pick overall in the league. This is an anti-tanking thing. That's what the draft lottery is.
No, I know. And for the first year, it worked. For the first year at work, do you still have teams? You'll still have at least 2 to 3 teams every year in the NBA still trying to benefit from that 14% share.
Yeah, but let me bring up his point. So Lawrence comes out, and the end of the season is January the 2nd, let's say. We know exactly what team is going to get Lawrence at that point, right? He's going to be the number one pick, we know. Suppose we didn't know until March. Because for 2 months you had this finagling going back and forth, and you're going to have a draft lottery. You don't think that gives 2 months of content for that league to keep in everybody's mind? When the Super Bowl's over, the next day you're sitting there going, where's Lawrence going? Where is he? I think that could change. It's a no-brainer.
Okay, yeah. if that's the cherry on top, then fine. Fine, because I would say the NFL has no offseason. The doldrums are right now. Now until you'll have OTAs are going on right now. You'll have that camp, that mandatory camp in June. Everybody leaves, and then there's nothing.
When's the draft? NBA draft? Do we know?
Last week of June.
Okay,
that's so, Thursday.
So
I think.
It's backwards. So it wouldn't really work for them. And I would say you have the Super Bowl, then you have the combine. I mean, I'm sure they could do it. Fine. I guess it wouldn't really matter if they did it, but I just don't feel like they need it. But I will say this, based on the NFL and how if you show them a buck, I mean, they will show up. You show them another opportunity to add more money into the owner's pockets and then elevate their standards, I mean, their viewership, then they'll do it.
The NBA changed the system this year. They made it more equitable on the top four teams. The first three teams had 14%, and what did number four have, 12.5% or something like that. So it was more equitable. It opened up the door for more. And what do you think the television ratings, they were up from a year ago. What do you think the percentage they were up from a year ago?
Well, I'm not going to look at it. They just gave it to me. So I'm going to say 25%. Yeah, I looked at it. He looked at it. What is it?
They were up 77%.
Okay, but once in a lifetime type of deal, you have a marquee player, what they're calling a transcendent player.
I'm not sure I buy that.
If it was last year's draft, But Zion has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, he does.
Zion and the Knicks have a lot to do with
that. Yeah, he does.
But, so you have a lot more eyeballs.
Think about the NFL, because there's another layer. Think of how many draft picks have been traded. You know, you start trading away a future pick, a future second. Well, all of a sudden, that second might not be the 22nd pick in the second round. It might be four. Do you get all of them? Like, the whole order changes.
So let's say the whole order changes.
So you get a second-round pick from Cleveland for something.
Or not Cleveland. I'm starting to change my mind.
And all of a sudden you say, you don't know what it is. Well, next thing you know, there comes the lottery. And all of a sudden you win because since he gets one, which means you get 33.
So when would you do this? Because now I'm starting to think,
So many cities would be involved. I think you need more.
It's a one-night deal. Well, this takes 30 minutes for them to do this.
My thing is that, so they got about 5-6 weeks before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
5 weeks, whatever it is, right? In the NFL, I think maybe you'd have to have more time.
Because the season's over. They won't do it until after the Super Bowl's in February.
Well, I'm just saying.
The draft's in April.
I mean, I guess it's the same thing. It's just I feel like there's so many more players, and if you have 20, you know, and you're looking at a certain type of player, and all of a sudden you find out you got two, that changes your whole draft. That changes everything, right?
What would the board
so you almost
like
need more time than 5 weeks before the NFL lottery and the NFL draft. You might need a couple of months.
Christian, if this is big with the NBA right now, this whole draft lottery,
I love the idea. Just think of what it would be like with the NFL.
We're talking.
You're starting to like it.
I am starting to get intrigued by it a little bit.
Yes, I am intrigued because the
other thing is not that they need it, but they're a bunch of pigs. The owners are pigs, and they want to eat as much as possible. They don't care. So if they're looking at these ratings and they're saying, okay, we got a better product, we got better fans, we got more fans, we got higher ratings. And if they're getting this type of increase, because every year the NFL creates a Zion Williamson. There's if there's not one, there's four. So every year,
yeah.
You
well,
have it
was Kyler Murray a
like
year
that.
Ago?
No, he's backing up. What's the dude over?
Nobody knew
Cleveland.
Who he was other than
no,
the Oakland
just
A's.
Just some dude, right? Just some guy.
The A's knew he could play baseball. Nobody else knew anything.
And they get more
number one pick.
And they get more publicity.
All right, I'm in. I'm in.
They brought.
I'm in. I'm done. Let's go. Let's do it. Woo! Let's bet on everything.
And as part of the show last night, they brought in some of those top guys that are going to be drafted.
You can bring back old players. You can have Lucky Charms. Hey, what kind of Lucky Charms do you have? Ooh, maybe Giselle will come in and sit in for the Patriots. You get a 1% chance.
All right, 617-779-7937. Why are the Celtic fans not seeing that they did quite well last night? And we're talking about Tuca. He's been unbelievable. Probably 80% of the success pie here. But is anybody concerned going forward here? 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.